dass wir so viele Dimensionen gar nicht aufstellen können. Vor allem aber, sie kämpfen immer am gleichen Platz. Hier und da sollen sie dann bescheiden, nach 14 Tagen, wir haben eine Stadt evakuiert. Aber im Allgemeinen kämpfen sie seit dem 22. Juni am gleichen Platz immer erfolgreich. Immer werden wir zurückgeschlagen und sind bei diesem fortgesetzten Zurückschlagen des Landes auf.
I have an attack to you, and for you to come on and use those sort of insults me. Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate that.
Okay.
Much well, more news ahead on it. Cut the mic, please.
Wollen auch wir treu sein? Adolf Hitler, der Führer der deutschen Jugend, hat das Wort.
Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor fracturing her ankle. Now the question is, would a white male judge have fractured his ankle? I hope she can find a wise Latina doctor.
She clearly supported racial quotas.
For clearly racial quota reasons.
What she said was racist.
I want to talk about the news business.
I am not a citizen of the world. I think the entire concept is intellectual nonsense.
While other presidents, from Reagan to Kennedy, have said the same thing.
I speak today as both a citizen of the United States and of the world.
Was Ronald Reagan engaging in intellectual nonsense?
On Sunday, the San Francisco Chronicle printed that I call George Tiller Dr. Killer. In Dr. Killer's case, that's a lie.
Shep Smith at Fox News. Here, play audio soundbite number 9.
The email, to me, has become more and more frightening. And they are out there. I mean, out there in a scary place.
For liberals to now claim that the atmosphere is somehow more violently anti-Obama is simply preposterous. Barack Obama failing to implement all this equals America surviving.
Massive third world chip on his shoulder.
Authoritarian with a god complex.
Headed towards socialism.
This is empathetic fascism that's coming our way. At first it's done through let's do the right thing. Then it's done through fear. Then it's done through bribery. At some point you have to take a gun, don't you?
There has been a shooting inside the Holocaust Museum there in Washington, D.C.
Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security reports about right-wing extremists. Remember that came out a few weeks ago?
Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary.
Take a lot of heat after a warning that there could be an uptick, if you will, in violence from white supremacist groups and others.
They see signs that this sort of thing is bubbling up. It was a warning to us all, and it appears now that they were right.
Now you've got this absolutely screaming nutcase right-winger.
This is not the work of right-wing conservatives.
And we have an administration that's really done a lot of class warfare, a lot of class baiting. And so it sets the stage for social unrest.
It is they who are fomenting racial and religious tension in this country. The left in this country is creating a very dangerous climate, and they're doing it on purpose. This president thrives and needs chaos and unrest.
I'm not stirring the pot. I am pointing out that the pot is boiling and there is trouble in America. There is going to be a witch hunt, I believe, in this country and quite possibly all around the world.
Are they being motivated to move by right-wing pronouncements like he's dangerous? He's a socialist, he's a Muslim, and he isn't even a U.S. citizen.
Vigilante and militia-style rhetoric has become a cornerstone of the movement and certainly of conservative media. And there are consequences and responsibilities when you sort of broadcast that hate 24/7.
This guy is a leftist.
Was the alleged shooter a man of the left?
Look at some of the causes that James von Brunn has associated himself with. One is the conspiracy theory that Barack Obama was not
born an American citizen, therefore he can't be president.
In Kenya, where of course our president was born.
God does not have a birth certificate, neither does Obama.
He's anti-immigration.
How many illegal aliens can you get into a Ford Excursion? Apparently about 27. And you can actually roll that Ford Excursion on a back road of Arizona and only kill 10 of them.
Now, this is a very important story. The Bremerhaven Zoo in Bremen, Germany, has imported 4 female penguins from Sweden who are supposedly, allegedly gay. I can't figure out how they know the penguins are gay. How would you come to that conclusion? Do they wear tight T-shirts? I mean, what? How do you know? I don't know.
Adolf Hitler, der Führer der deutschen Jugend, hat das Wort.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
We're people gonna rise up and take what's there. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
This week in Radical History for the week starting June 22nd. Inspiration came from the Slingshot organizer, and lots of radical info came from the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
As always, we're gently lifting some audio from the Columbus Neighborhood Network of Columbus, Ohio, and audio from the Radio Roots crew from WBAI in New York, which you're about to hear right now. People, the time has
come. On this day, June 22nd in 1898, the first wave of U.S. troops landed at Daiquiri, Cuba, preparing to invade the Spanish colony. The U.S. and Spain were in the middle of the Spanish-American War. The Cuban Revolutionary Forces, who were in the middle of fighting for independence from Spain, helped the U.S. Marines when they arrived. Although the U.S. had promised to leave control of the island to its people after Spain was defeated, when the Spanish surrendered at the end of the year, an arrangement was made giving America many of Spain's territories, including Cuba. That the U.S. would go back on its word is not surprising, considering their interest in gaining control of Cuba before they offered their help. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on June 22nd, last year, a man I would easily call a comrade, George Carlin, dies. Here's a little audio of his politic.
Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, George, I voted. The limits of debate in this country are established before the debate even begins, and everyone else is marginalized. They're made to seem either to be communists or some sort of disloyal person. A kook, there's a word, and now it's conspiracy. See, they've made that something that should not be even entertained for a minute, that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff. So, the only way you cure that, death, bloodshed. I don't advocate it, but I see that it's really the only answer.
This week in radical history, starting June 23rd, 1683, William Penn signs a friendship treaty with Lenni Lenape Indians in Pennsylvania. It is the first treaty signed in the new U.S. of A. Lenny would later help supply the Revolutionary Army with scouts and supplies for a significant future role in self-governance of their tribal members. Of course, this would be only one of a long list of promises and treaties the good old U.S. of A. would break with all Native Americans they come across. On June 23, 1848, in France, Paris Uprising. Hot on the heels of Prague, Paris burns in what is known as the June Days Workers' Uprising. Also on June 23, 1924, in Spalding County, Georgia, Marcus and Penny Westmoreland, a black man and woman, are lynched for being argumentative. Also on this date, 1925, in China, British warships fire on Hong Kong Harbor strikers. British and French soldiers machine gun Chinese demonstrators in Canton fighting against colonialization. Also on June 23, 1937 in Spain, following the communist suppression of the anarchists and members of the Lincoln Brigade fighting the fascists in Spain, George Orwell flees with his wife. He would later write a book about his experiences called Homage to Catalonia, about the anarchist struggle in Spain, as well as his experiences being shot fighting the fascist and the counter-revolutionary Stalin forces. Again, that book is Homage to Catalonia by George Orwell. Also on that date, 1964, U.S., a burning station wagon is found belonging to the Freedom Riders, Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner, murdered by the KKK near Philadelphia, Mississippi. Also on that date, 1966, month-long race riots begin in Cleveland, Ohio. Also on June 23, 1967, battle with 10,000 anti-war protesters greeting the president at a Los Angeles speech. Also on that date, 1970, in Japan, seeing what the U.S. does to other places in Asia like Vietnam, Japanese protest against a new U.S.-Japanese defense treaty. More than 750,000 take to the streets in numerous cities across Japan. Also on that date, 1971, Louis Leecoin dies. French anti-militist anarchist, seeing the world as it is, he once wrote, "One does not create human society on mounds of corpses." Also on June 23, 1972, media always being very late to the game as Life magazine publishes photos of South Vietnamese children running from U.S. carpet bombing with the chemical weapon napalm. Also on that date, 1994, the UN says about 20,000 Muslim women have been raped in 3 years of the fighting in the ex-Yugoslavia. The United States, not wanting to get involved, closes its eyes to the atrocities occurring in the former Yugoslavia. As noted in George Orwell's book Animal Farm, unpopular ideas can be silenced and inconvenient facts kept in the dark without a need for any official banning. This week in Radical History for June 24th, 1633, the Catholic Inquisition finally releases the scientist Galileo for daring to claim that Earth is not the center of the universe. What heresy. Also on June 24th, 1848, Albert Parsons, born in Alabama, one of the many anarchists unjustly accused and executed for the Haymarket bombing in Chicago. Again, national and international protests. However, the Illinois Supreme Court rejects their appeal. Playwright George Bernard Shaw would write, "If the world must lose eight of its people, it could be better afford to lose the eight members of the Illinois Supreme Court." Also on June 24, 1901, Pablo Picasso's first exhibition in Paris. In his youthful formative years, Picasso was politically linked with the international anarchist movement. French police kept him under surveillance for nearly 40 years, and when the Spanish-born painter applied for citizenship, the authorities could not decide whether he was an anarchist or a communist, so they ruled that he was undesirable just in case. Also on June 24, 1904, Colorado, troops arrest 22 workers, labeling them as strike leaders and troublemakers, and deport them via a train out of the area. In March of the same year, another 60 union members were deported and told never to come back. After three more months of hardship, the union was eventually broken. The police always have been and always will be an arm of the aristocracy. Also on June 24, 1919, following an attack on the house of the Attorney General Palmer on June 2nd, the Palmer raids begin as anarchists and seven collaborators are expelled from the land of the free. Also on June 24, 1968, pre-Petraeus propaganda is announced as General Wheeler, Chief of Staff, U.S. Army, assures the New York audience that the enemy has lost whatever chance it has of taking South Vietnam by military force. Eerie sounds of Iraq of today. On this day in Radical History for June 25th, in the land built on religious freedoms from persecution in 1594, Margaret Frey and Agatha Byronsag are burned as witches. Also on June 25th, 1876, Lakota, Cheyenne, and Apache tribes defeat the U.S. Army in Little Bighorn. Resisting the authority of the U.S. government efforts to herd them into reservations, also known as internment camps. Gee, after all we've done for them. Also on June 25, 1878, despite mass protest, Ezra Haywood gets 2 years of hard labor for advocating free love, sexual emancipation as part of the women's rights movement. I guess what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander.
On this day, June 25th in 1910, Congress passed the Mann Act, or the White Slave Traffic Act, prohibiting interstate or international transportation of women for immoral purposes. The legislation was intended to protect white women from being forced into prostitution or sex slavery, and was a xenophobic response to the increasing number of immigrant men in America, particularly from China. The law was also broadly worded and was often manipulated to criminalize consensual sexual activity and perpetuate the idea that women were property. Unfortunately, forced sexual exploitation still exists all over the world, and the sex trafficking of women and children has been steadily increasing with the rise of globalization.
Also on June 25, 1950, Korea War begins with North Korea communist forces crossing the 38th parallel. This was not the first time the U.S. was in Korea, even though there was no commies to fight back then. Way back in 1887, the U.S. invaded Korea to protect American interests. That was first invasion in 1887, very much pre-communist era. Also on that date, 1973, John Dean, before the Senate Watergate Committee, testifies in 4 days, indicting himself, Nixon, Ulrichman, Mitchell, and others while revealing the use of hush money and an enemies list. Now if we can only get Cheney and Gonzalez to open up. Same crimes, different time. This week in radical history for June 26, 1886 in France, Charles Gallo, hauled to court and sentenced for his attack of March 5th on the stock exchange, is expelled from the courtroom shouting, "Death to the bourgeois judges! Long live dynamite! Long live anarchy!" He receives 20 years for all those outbursts. Also on June 26, 1893, imprisoned Haymarker anarchist not already hung by the state of Illinois is pardoned by the Illinois governor. The show trial and convictions were a travesty. Eight would die too late for the governor's pardon. Also on June 26, 1917, the first U.S. troops enter Europe on this day to fight the war to end all wars. Oops, got that war to end all wars thing wrong, I guess.
On this day, June 26, in 1918, Eugene Debs, labor activist and leader of the U.S. Socialist Party, was arrested under the Espionage Act for an anti-war speech he delivered in Canton, Ohio. Debs often criticized the American military system, and in this particular speech, he explained that America's interest in World War I was fueled by capitalism. He also highlighted the irony of America's claim to be protecting democracy abroad and encouraged Americans to resist the draft. While still imprisoned at the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary, Debs ran for president in the 1920 election as a Socialist Party candidate. His experience in prison also inspired him to write a series of articles criticizing the prison-industrial complex.
Also on June 26, 1975, after terrorizing the reservation, the FBI initiates a shootout at Ogallala, South Dakota. Two American Indian Movement AIM leaders are prosecuted for the FBI deaths and found innocent by reason of self-defense. A third AIM member activist, Leonard Poitier, is later framed when much of the same evidence is disallowed in his trial. The FBI still holds over 6,000 pages of Leonard Peltier's case, which they refuse to release for national security reasons. Lastly, for June 26, 2000, Palestine, Freedom Summer begins. Peace workers kick off a 2 months of nonviolence direct action against the Israeli occupation, involves Palestinians and international activists to promote freedom and justice in Palestine. However, Israel does not want Palestine to be free, nor can there be justice in decades-old occupations. Again, quoting Louis Leakoyne, "One does not create human society on mounds of corpses." This week in radical history for June 27, 1833, Prudence Cranball, a white woman, arrested for conducting an academy for black females in Canterbury, Connecticut. I can't have that. Also on June 27, 1869, in Lithuania, anarchist, rebel, feminist, and anti-militant Emma Goldman is born on this day. Also on this date, 1905, in the Black Sea, the crew of the Russian battleship Potemkin mutinies. The crew kills what is considered the worst of the officers, hoists the red flag, enters Odessa where the workers are on strike, then they all go to Romania where they obtain political asylum. Also on this date, 1917, U.S., Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman act as independent counsel in their conspiracy trial for anti-war activities. Although Emma denies the charges and no surprise she is found guilty, would be sentenced to 2 years in labor and then deported. Also on this date, 1954, Guatemala, CIA-sponsored rebels complete the overthrow of the democratically elected government to protect American interests. However, obviously not to protect democracy. Also on this date, 1969, New York City police storm into the Christopher Street Stonewall Inn, a Greenwich Village gay bar, around 2 a.m. Everybody was expecting a routine raid, but the queers and drag queens fight back. Many young men who are emboldened by the recent race rebellions and escalation in resistance to the Vietnam War, and they feel it is time to take direct action. In less than an hour, the police harassment of the Stonewall ignites into a full-scale riot. The battle rages in the surrounding neighborhoods for nearly a week. Within a month, organizations sprung up around the country to resist similar oppression and to support the Stonewall rioters. The modern-day lesbian and gay rights movement had begun. Lastly, for June 27, 1986, World Court rules that U.S. support of Nicaragua-Contras violates international law. Laws? We don't need no stinking laws. This week in radical history for June 28, 1894, Labor Day declared the official U.S. holiday by Congress amid intense labor unrest. Also on June 28, 1919, World War I ends with the Treaty of Versailles, again ending the war to end all wars. No surprise that it didn't end all wars.
On this day, June 28, in 1940, the Smith Act, also known as the Alien Registration Act, was approved under President Roosevelt, requiring that all non-citizen residents in the United States over 14 years of age report their political beliefs to the government. The Smith Act also made it a criminal offense for anyone in the U.S. to organize, assist, or promote an overthrow of the government. The act was most commonly used by the Supreme Court to prosecute members of the American Communist Party and other left-wing political groups. You'd think a country founded on a revolution would be more sensitive to dissenting voices. Maybe then, no one would have the desire to revolt. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Lastly, for June 28, 1994, the Department of Energy discloses hundreds of citizens were unwittingly used for radioactive experiments during the Cold War. Your government at work, folks. This has been This Week in Radical History, produced at the Mobile Fortress of Glee, Glee Studios. Thanks again to WBAI Radio Roots crew and the Neighborhood Network of Columbus, Ohio. Happy birthday, Emma, and we miss you, George. Until next week's show, a last reminder that I'm always and forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon. Here's music of System of the Down.
The only way you cure that, death, bloodshed. I don't advocate it, but I see that it's really the only answer.